Welcome to Share Talk. Today I have Michael Masterman, who is the chairman of W Resources. How are you today, sir?
Great, Steve. How are you?
I'm not too bad, thank you. Not too bad. We've had a few busy days of news in regards to your sort of two projects there. So if we could start with the main one that's on everyone's lips today, which is the Laparilla equipment finance, plus the grants, plus the development, obviously, of the equipment over the next sort of few months. The word that is on everyone's lips is about the loan notes that are in place. Now, people have approached me and said that we hope it's not Bergen, we hope it's not sort of other companies along those lines. So I know you obviously can't say anything like that, but is there anything you can say in relation to putting sort of shareholders at ease?
Well, Steve, I can be absolutely categorical. We will never, ever do a Darwin or a Bergen type facility. And I've made that very clear in the past. Those types of equity line facilities are just not transactions that this company needs to do or will ever do. So let's be very clear. That's not what we were referring to.
So in relation, obviously, to the RNS that was put out today, what is the way forward and what are your sort of expected timescales?
Okay. Well, from our perspective, we've made very positive, constructive progress to finance Laparilla with very limited dilution of shareholders. The most important step announced was the vendor finance. So you've got AAA rated corporates providing vendor finance at low costs of finance, 3-4%, so that we can get large parts, if you like, 2/3 of the plant at Laparilla built with top class engineers and with the support of their balance sheets. So vendor finance for the crusher and vendor finance for the jig and the mill is a very positive, constructive step, and that covers 50% of those two critical and time-critical pits of plant. The other message in the RNS, and this really should be taken positively, is we've advanced discussions with the Extremadura government, which is the region that Laparilla is in, and they are stepping up to the plate, subject to, all their approvals and formalities and things like that. So this certainly isn't a done deal. But they're saying our project's going to generate jobs, it's going to generate investment, it's going to generate exports, and they want to support it with a grant. By grant, I mean they pay for 20-30% of the cost of these plant packages at Laparilla. And that is extraordinarily positive in terms of being cost effective in terms of financing the Laparilla project.
In regards to all of the sort of finance packages, what sort of timescale do you believe that you have in place to potentially complete them?
So we're looking, and this was laid out in the RNS, we will place the orders for the crusher and the jig and the mill within the next month. The crusher can be put in place in a expedited time frame. We're talking about the middle of 2017, and the jig and the mill is scheduled for the back end of 2017. The important thing about the crusher is putting that crusher in place very significantly reduces our crushing operating costs, and that's an important part of making sure Laparilla is a very competitive and cash-producing project.
In relation to, obviously, the offtake of the minerals that you've got there, could you just explain what the crusher actually does to get the sort of additional minerals out and a better grade of product?
So, in simple terms, we've got an open pit mine that's pretty low cost to mine, and the ore needs the ore is blasted and comes up and needs to be crushed down to a certain size fraction before we can process it through the rest of the equipment. So, what we've had in the past is mobile crushers, which are, if you like, hired from third parties and have high unit costs and not great availability. And then this is in nearly all mining projects, not just La Perla. When you move to a very well-designed and well-set-up crushing circuit, you can achieve very, very substantial reductions in your unit crushing costs and also improve the quality of the material as it comes out of the crusher. So the crusher effectively does what it says on the label. It crushes the ore down to a size which it can run through the rest of the processing plant. But a new state-of-the-art Sandvik crushing plant will do that far more cost effectively than the mobile fleets we've been using today.
In regards to sort of shutdown periods to put in this equipment, that's effectively going to get a better end product, and obviously with a lot more usability and a lot more feed able to go through. What is the sort of period that you expect to be shut down for?
So we've taken the strategic decision to install the new crusher, which should take 4 to 5 months to get it in place and fully operational. We're looking at, you know, the order of a $50 per MTU reduction in costs by moving to fixed crushing capacity. And, you know, just putting that in context, that's 25% of the current price of tungsten. So pretty important in terms of making sure that we bank that cost saving.
In regards to the tungsten price, obviously it's at a sort of low depressed price over the sort of longer time frame. Where do you potentially see the supply and demand plus the cost of the tungsten?
Look, we're seeing, particularly in terms of tungsten concentrate production, which is what we are doing, there's been a lot of rationalisation of supply. There's not much tungsten concentrate around, and at some point in time, that shortage of tungsten supply is going to translate into rising prices. I can't say whether that's going to happen in 3 months or 12 months, but certainly the fundamentals of the supply and demand of tungsten concentrate say that that will happen. At the moment, with what we've got planned, and we've always said we needed new state-of-the-art crushing capacity, we'll be cost competitive and profitable at those kind of levels. But it's been really important for the company and the project to make sure we have the right crusher, the right design, the right operability, and to install it as quickly as we possibly can.
Yeah, obviously I'm just going back for your December presentation, and it may seem a bit silly at this sort of early stage to put in sort of upgraded systems and plants there to do this, but you're expecting sort of long-term forecast is that by 2019, you want to be producing round about 6,300 tonnes per annum. And that at the moment, one of the world's largest tungsten mines is called New Ife Masan. And they're only producing 5,500 tonnes per annum.
Yeah, look, we have at La Perla and Régua in northern Portugal, we have tungsten mine developments that can, in combination, get to around 6,300 tonnes of tungsten production. And that's very comparable with Nui Phao, which is in Vietnam and is owned by the Masan Corporation and is the world's largest tungsten producer. So, the message there is really La Perla, with Regawa is a world-scale tungsten mine development. It needs the right high-quality engineering attention and the right high-quality plant, and we are moving steadily and decisively to put that tungsten production capacity in place.
Just to let the listeners know, that market cap currently of that company is over 400 million. So in retrospect then, Michael, the cost of the plant and equipment, etc., is going to be relatively insignificant over the longer time frame of what the potential of what W Resources could potentially do.
Yeah, look, La Perla is a low capital cost project that is able to get to high levels of tungsten production at low operating costs, and the market will look after itself. But at low prices and at high prices, La Perla is going to be a profitable and competitive project. And we've got a market cap of, I think, £25 million. We've got a lot of upside as we step by step take the company forward to where it's going.
Obviously, we've only touched on one of your assets, obviously being in La Perla. Now, in relation to the other news that has come out in recent days, it's regarding the gold drilling program that you've got in place at Sao Martino.
Yeah, Sao Martino's, which, by the way, if you translate it, is Little Saint Martin, has been a great project and a great drilling program. We announced on Monday the latest batch of assay results, and we had a stunning result from hole 9, where we had 56 meters of gold mineralization at 2.6 grams a ton from surface. So if you think about 56 meters, that's approximately a 20-story building of continuous intersection of gold, and it's starting at surface. I mean, starting at surface is important because if you're going to mine and you can get to the gold mineralization with low pre-stripping, that enhances the overall economics of the project. So, look, we've still got more work to do, more geological work, but, that was a great result to get from the assays. And, Little St. Martin's going to be, I think, a really good gold deposit going forward.
In regards, obviously, to the forward-looking work there, are you going to be doing sort of more infill samplings, or is the idea to find out how big the resource is and potentially get a JORC-compliant statement put out there?
We've got three or four results from holes still to come in, and we'll report that to the market over the next month. Once we've got all the assay results in, we'll update the JORC resource estimate. We're currently sitting at 111,000 ounces, and I think, certainly from what we're seeing to date, that's going to increase. Can't say until the geologists do their calculations how much by, but the whole set of results we're starting to see bodes well for a substantial increase in the size of the resource. We'll then take stock and understand where these very thick intersections of gold are coming from, what direction are they coming from, where might a relatively limited expenditure on Sao Martino yield a further substantial increase in the resource size. To be able to drive a project off an intersection like that is very encouraging.
So in regards to...
Maybe as a comment, sometimes some investors say, well, Michael, why have you invested some money in the gold properties? Why don't you focus 100% on the tungsten? We've probably spent €150,000 on Sao Martino. that and retained 100% of the project. There's a point in time where it's going to be very attractive for joint venture partners or perhaps even outright sale. But for a small expenditure, the company's been able to maintain ownership of what's a really exciting advanced gold exploration program. And, you know, I think it can deliver a lot of value for our shareholders, either from a large check or a fantastic joint venture contribution. But it was really important that we invested a relatively small amount of capital to do this drilling and get these results coming through. And we've been lucky as well. I mean, it's a good result.
What are your hopes and expectations going forward then? What's your plans in regards to San Martino?
Well, we announced a few months back that we're doing a strategic review of our copper and gold assets. It's pretty clear to me that those assets are not getting recognised for the significant potential that they have within our portfolio. I think, you know, for lots of reasons, it's important for investors to focus on the tungsten part of the portfolio, but it's very important when we do have significant results in gold, and I think we'll also end up with significant results in copper, that we can find a way in which those assets can deliver real tangible value to shareholders. And it's probably fair to say that they're not yet doing that, and as part of the strategic review, we're looking at the best way to get the value of those assets back to the shareholders.
What sort of timescale will the strategic review take place over, and what sort of things are you looking at doing in regards to everything?
So it was it's important to get the geological results in from the program, which should be completed certainly in February, because that then gives us a tangible way to assess what we've got and certainly what the upside is. Yeah. There's a spectrum of options, and I won't speculate on what specifically we'll do, but the spectrum of options ranges from possible spin out of the assets directly to shareholders to a joint venture to a trade sale. Look, the copper's good, the gold is good and getting substantially better, and we will find a way in which those copper and gold assets can be much better reflected in the returns to shareholders.
In regards, obviously, to the project for the gold, what are the infrastructure sort of areas like?
They're pretty good. It's in a fairly central part of Portugal with good road access. It's farming country. I don't think there's any particular infrastructure challenge there. We're not in the northwest Icelands of Canada or something like that. Having gold mineralization starting at surface also gives a lot of advantages in terms of how you look at a mine development. But we really just have to take São Martinho step by step and see how these geological results package together. I think there is a huge amount of potential, as part of the strategic review, we'll work out what's the best way to get that potential back to shareholders.
In regards, obviously, to the share price, where it is currently and where you think it should be in sort of the mid to long term, how are you going to ensure that the news that's released to the market has a positive effect on the share price?
I guess being a little bit humble, I think we're all learning and improving investor communications. I certainly, I'm horrified that there was some interpretation that we would ever do a Darwin or a Bergen type deal as part of the financing La Prilla. So we've got to make sure there is never any miscommunication like that. There was some incredibly positive elements to the RNS this morning with the vendor finance and the backing of, quite substantial companies, and also with, the possibility of substantial grant funding for the project. And I think we've just got to make sure we use all the channels at our disposal to make sure shareholders understand what a positive development that was, and make sure there's no misunderstanding on the other parts.
Well, I definitely think you've covered all of those points with us today, Michael. Is there anything further you would like to add?
No, Steve. Great to talk to you today, and I hope we've been able to address the issues.
I think we certainly have. Thank you for your time today.
Okay. Thanks, Steve. Bye.
Bye.